Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to our half-hour English feature program. I'm Susie Hodges. Coming up on today's program, the Pope in Assisi. We report on the Day of Reflection and Prayer for Peace, attended by Pope Benedict and other world religious leaders and non-believers on Thursday in the Italian town of Assisi. The event was commemorating the 25th anniversary of the World Day of Prayer for Peace, convened there by Pope John Paul in 1986. Memories of the 1986 Assisi Gathering. Cardinal Peter Turkson, prefect of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace, who helped organise Thursday's gathering, shares with us his personal memories of the 1986 event, which he attended as a young priest. 1986 Prayer for Peace event recalled. With the help of two Franciscans, we look back at that historic World Day of Prayer for Peace 25 years ago and examine its huge impact on ecumenical and interfaith dialogue. And pilgrims' feedback from Assisi. Four Christian pilgrims from England who were attending Thursday's event in Assisi talked to us about the highlights of their ecumenical pilgrimage that took them across central Italy. Benedict was in the Italian town of Assisi on Thursday for a day of reflection and prayer for peace, being attended by some 170 religious leaders from across the world and non-believers. Pilgrims of Truth, Pilgrims of Peace, was the theme of Thursday's gathering in the Italian town that commemorates the 25th anniversary of the 1986 World Day of Prayer for Peace, hosted there by Blessed Pope John Paul. Our correspondent in Assisi covering Thursday's gathering was Philippa Hitchin, and she filed this report.
From the early hours of the morning, pilgrims began gathering down at the Basilica of St. Mary of the Angels, some taking their places inside around the tiny chapel or porziuncola where St. Francis is buried, others waiting patiently outside for the Pope and his guests to arrive on the train from Rome. Over 300 of them, men and women of faith from countries around the world, plus for the first time a small delegation of non-believers invited to join this shared pilgrimage on the difficult path towards truth and peace in our troubled world. Cheering broke out as the Pope greeted them one by one before making his way up to the raised white stage where leaders of the largest churches and faith communities were seated. Introducing the event, the President of the Vatican's Justice and Peace Council, Cardinal Peter Turkson, said, "We come to bear witness to the great power of religion for good.
We come also to bear witness to the great power of religion for good, and to renew a common commitment to building peace, to reconciling those in conflict, and to bringing humanity back into harmony with creation."
Then one by one, these elders of their respective communities stood up to declare their own commitment to the search for greater tolerance, respect and peace amongst peoples and nations. Among them, the Orthodox leader Patriarch Bartholomew I of Constantinople, who spoke in French of the need for metamorphosis, transformation, conversion at the heart of all genuine dialogue.
Tout dialogue véritable porte en lui les germes d'une métamorphose à venir. La nature de cette transformation constitue une conversion qui nous fait sortir de nos particularismes pour envisager l'autre comme sujet de relation.
As religious leaders, he said, we must show through our example that we do not seek to live one against the other, but each one together with the other in the common search for truth and peace. Referring to the dramatic events of the Arab Spring, he said the place of religion in the midst of these upheavals remains ambiguous, and he expressed the concern of all Christian leaders for the marginalization of their Christian communities throughout the Middle East.
Et à l'heure où le printemps arabe n'ont pas mis fin aux tensions intercommunautaires, la place des religions dans les fermentations du monde reste ambiguë.
Also today, peace in the world requires the perspectives and the contributions of young people.
Echoing those concerns was the Secretary-General of the World Council of Churches, Dr. Olaf Fixe-Tveit, who highlighted the vital role of young people leading the push for democracy and peace across the Arab world. He spoke of the young St. Francis, motivated by passion and a radical daring for peace, who met with the Sultan in Egypt to share their experiences of faith. Like many crusaders, he said, Francis came to convert the other, but instead he became changed, converted himself.
In the course of a war being fought which had Jerusalem as its ultimate prize, Francis came to share experiences of faith with the Sultan of Egypt. As many crusaders, he came to convert the other. He became changed himself. We are here to let the conversion of Francis speak to us, and to let the conversation between us become a source for justice and peace. There is more to win through the respect for the other. A sustainable peace requires that there is a space, a safe and secure space, not only for me, but also for the other. And Christians are reminded that the cross is not for crusades, but a sign of how God's love embraces everybody, also the other. For the World Council of Churches, a clear commitment over the coming years is to work for just peace in Jerusalem and for all the peoples living there and around that city with Shalom, Salam in its name.
The head of the Anglican Communion, Archbishop Rowan Williams, noted that no one religious community can claim to have all the resources necessary to confront the huge challenges of today.
So we are here, not to affirm a minimum ground, common ground of belief, but to speak out of the depths of our traditions in all their distinctiveness, so that the human family will be more fully aware of how much wisdom there is to draw upon in the struggle against the foolishness of a world still obsessed with fear and suspicion, still in love with the idea of a security based on defensive hostility, and still capable of tolerating or ignoring massive loss of life among the poorest through war and disease.
The head of the Armenian Church in France, Archbishop Norvan Zakarian, spoke of the difficult path towards justice and reconciliation, stressing the need for truth about crimes committed during armed conflicts, and particularly, he said, during genocide, the most serious crime of them all.
Qu'est-ce que l'humanisme? Un grand point d'interrogation à l'endroit du plus grand sérieux.
One of the delegation of non-believers, Professor Julia Kristeva, came forward to speak of the particular role of women and the need to re-evaluate the contribution of humanism to the search for justice and peace in the world.
Sono passati 25 anni da quando il beato Papa Giovanni Paolo II invitò per la prima volta rappresentanti delle religioni del mondo ad Assisi per una preghiera per la pace.
Finally, Pope Benedict spoke of the huge changes that have taken place since the first such interfaith meeting in Assisi in 1986. Though the world is no longer divided between East and West, he said, the world of freedom has proved to be largely directionless, while new forms of violence and discord continue to threaten us today.
Anzitutto c'è il terrorismo, nel quale, al posto di una grande guerra, vi sono attacchi ben mirati che devono colpire in punti importanti l'avversario in modo distruttivo, senza alcun riguardo per vite umane innocenti.
The first of those, he said, is terrorism, often religiously motivated, which undermines all previously recognized international norms regarding the protection of civilians in situations of conflict. This, the Pope stressed, is the antithesis of true religion and contributes to its destruction.
Come cristiano vorrei dire a questo punto, sì, nella storia anche il nome della fede cristiana si è fatto ricorso alla violenza. Lo riconosciamo pieni di vergogna.
He acknowledged that Christians throughout the course of history have also abused of their faith to use violence against others. And he said the task of all Christians today is to purify our religion so that it can truly serve as an instrument of God's peace.
Una seconda tipologia di violenza, dall'aspetto multiforme, ha una motivazione esattamente opposta.
The other type of violence, the Pope said, is the denial of God, resulting in the loss of humanity and a cruelty which knows no bounds. He mentioned the concentration camps, but also the devastation of human lives caused by the drug trade as examples of what happens when God is absent and the worship of mammon, possessions and power become a counter-religion.
L'assenza di Dio porta al decadimento dell'uomo.
Finally, Pope Benedict spoke of the growing world of agnosticism, of people who do not have the gift of faith, yet whose searching for truth should challenge all believers not to consider God as their own property. For her part, the Pope said, the Catholic Church will not let up in her fight against violence. Instead, like all those gathered here in Assisi, we must be animated by that common desire to be pilgrims of truth, pilgrims of peace.
Siamo animati dal comune desiderio di essere pellegrini della verità, pellegrini della pace. Vi ringrazio.
In Assisi with Pope Benedict, I'm Philippa Hitchin.
Cardinal Peter Turkson is prefect of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace that helped organise Thursday's event in Assisi. Just ahead of the gathering, he shared with Philippa his own personal memories of the 1986 event convened in Assisi by Blessed Pope John Paul that he attended as a young priest.
Yeah, I was, I had come from Ghana, asked by my bishop to accompany one of the traditional religion, priests or followers who was invited to the day. Since he was coming for the first time to Europe and to Italy, there was a need to have somebody who would help with translation, with guidance, and all of that. So I came accompanying one of the invitees, one of the guys invited to this day of Assisi.
What was your impression of that first meeting?
It was great. It was great and very, very illuminating. And the only sad thing was that having to accompany this priest and being attached and having to stay with him, it did not give me the opportunity to experience the other different groups at prayer. That was the thing I missed, because I had to be with this guy. But when we all came back together, it was a great experience having all of this, different religious group pray together. But again, being there at that moment, I didn't also immediately think about this possibility that some might think that the event was syncretistic or anything, having everybody pray together. Because I was sure that this guy I had accompanied did not think in any way that was being invited to pray like a Christian. I don't think it dawned even on him. So when later on this type of observation kept, coming up, it was a little bit strange, but it also meant that we needed to respect the sensibilities of some people who, having all of this together, constituted a problem. And I think it's out of, just pastoral solicitude to be sensitive to things like that, not to simply say that they were all right in what they thought, but out of, pastoral sensitivity, like Paul tells us in a letter to the Romans, right? If you're doing something, you know that it will cause scandal to your brother, try not to do it. So that's what all of this is about.
So this meeting in 2011 is described rather as a pilgrimage more than a meeting for joint prayer.
Yeah, that's also there. But the pilgrimating is the, the first one was Assisi Day of Peace for prayer, And the high point of it was all of us coming together to pray.
Okay, each one, if you like, in the style of Jonah, each one calling on his God. But the big thing was praying for peace. And that meant the recognition that true peace cannot come from us, must come from, you know, above, must be a gift, okay, of God. That was a big thing that was emphasized in this thing about prayer. Pilgrimage for peace just meant that there's also a yearning which sets us all in motion, okay, all emotion towards the realization of this objective. That's also the part that this emphasizes. So in a way, praying for something means it's not here. That's what you ask and pray for. Going on pilgrimage for it also means that you're yearning for it, and so you're ready even to move from one place and go to another place in search of it. Okay, so both of them highlight the fact that true peace must come to us. You know, we Christians will say out of grace and out of us a gift of God.
That was Cardinal Peter Turkson, Prefect of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace, speaking to Philippa Hitchin. Pope John Paul's decision to convene a World Day of Prayer for Peace a quarter of a century ago in Assisi was a bold and unprecedented gesture whose legacy is still being felt today, as Philippa Hitchin reports.
25 years ago, Pope John Paul II made a prophetic and unprecedented gesture, inviting leaders of all the world's major religions to the Umbrian hill town of Assisi to pray for peace in the world. The invitation was accepted by around 70 religious representatives who gathered with the former pope outside the great basilica dedicated to St. Francis. That striking image and renewed spirit of dialogue has inspired ecumenical and interfaith groups around the world ever since.
25 years ago when this started, I saw some statistics. There were like four major world religions that addressed themselves to justice, peace, and ecology issues. Now there are over 2,000 religious movements that address themselves to justice, peace, and ecology.
Father Peter Damian Massengill works as an assistant to the Secretary General of the Conventual Franciscan Friars at the Basilica of the 12 Holy Apostles here in Rome, and has been involved with the organisation of events marking the 25th anniversary of that first day of prayer for peace in Assisi within the Franciscan family. While Pope Benedict will be leading a commemorative event in the city of St. Francis itself, other celebrations are expected to take place in parishes, communities and cities across the globe, recalling and recommitting all people of goodwill to that same spirit of Assisi. To find out more about the form these celebrations will take, I spoke with Father Peter Damian and with Sister Nancy Chalaski, a general counsellor of the School Sisters of St. Francis. We're looking back 25 years, the first day of prayer for peace in Assisi. What was it, do you think, back then that provoked John Paul II? What convinced him that it was necessary for such a bold, such a visible gesture as this? Father Peter.
As he put it with the announcement and with his commentary at the time in the publications, it was the figure of the person of Francis. It seemed to have an appeal to everyone around the world from all kinds of different religions, at least those of the people that came to Assisi, that there must be some inherent invitation that came out of the very person of Francis himself as a historical figure and as a spiritual figure. And so it was a place where people would come and gather, that everyone felt welcomed and at home to be who they were.
You were there, weren't you, Sister Nancy, at that first?
Yes, I was. Gathering. I had just started about a year before working at L'Osservatore Romano English Edition. I went in no official capacity, took a day off from work, and went up the day before because I knew it would be pretty much difficult, impossible to get into town. And had no credentials of any kind, no invitations of any kind, but just wanted to absorb the atmosphere and be in a place which is, to me, a second home.
How would you describe that atmosphere on that day?
It was interesting, exciting. I have several visual images in mind. The first one is at the Basilica of Santa Maria degli Angeli. I was waiting outside across the street, and as the prayer ended, the Pope and all of the religious leaders who had gathered there in front of the Porzioncola, and at that time there were no big screens, so we did not see what was going on inside. We did not see that that picture that has since become the image of that event. But the Pope and the other leaders all came out, and I can remember seeing the Pope's car in front of a bus. And I said, oh, there's the Pope's car. He'll get in, and everybody else will get on the bus. Well, the Holy Father took, I think it was the Archbishop of Canterbury, by the hand and climbed on the bus and sat in the seat behind the driver's seat. And I said to myself and the person who was with me, they'll never let him ride up on the bus. And there was quite a delay as everybody got on, and the Pope was just there sitting in the seat behind the driver's seat. I was on that side of the road, and he's waving to everybody, and the bus took off with him on it, and his car followed. And I thought, this is not business as usual. He was delighted. He was delighted to host this event. And just throughout the day, people were free to go where they wanted. I remember as I was at the lower basilica, as the crowds came down, and when the groups there saw the American Indians coming, it was like shock went through because they never thought of the Native Americans as a religious group. But just the panoply, but such a good feeling all around, like it was a great crowd event, and yet at times they would just ask for silence and prayer. And people went from one site to the other praying, joining in the prayer and the silence. It was not a circus, but it was definitely an event.
There was a lot of criticism of it, even back then, wasn't there?
I was shocked. I remember the night before, as I was in the piazza, and there were flyers being handed out in the Piazza del Comune by groups that were totally against it, and with some rather crude cartoons of the Pope, and just suggesting that it was blasphemous for him to do such a thing. So, yes, it wasn't everybody all in agreement about this. There was definitely an element that said, this is not the right thing to do, to gather people of different faiths to pray together. It's almost like putting all the faiths on the same footing.
You, of course, have been involved in interfaith work and ecumenical work to a certain extent since then, haven't you? What do you think, perhaps, is the lasting legacy of that first encounter?
I think the idea that people who do not agree on the identity of the Supreme Being can, in some way, come together, maybe not always in prayer, but at least in an attitude of respect for one another and respect for other people's ideas of who God is and God's role in our life, and even how God shapes destiny. And that even if they cannot pray together, they can at least discuss together and see where there is some accord.
Father Peter Damian, you've been involved with the Franciscans, haven't you, right from the beginning in planning some kind of 25th anniversary celebration. Can you tell us a bit about how the idea originated?
Well, originally there was a discussion among the major superiors of the Franciscan family, the different branches of the Franciscan family, and the desire that they had to do something to commemorate the 25th anniversary of that first event. Part of that was obviously a dialogue that we had with the present leadership of the Franciscan family in Assisi, what they would like to see, how they might want to be involved. And of course, shortly after that first casual conversation, we sat down with the bishop and his counselors to discuss what might happen at Assisi. At that time, that was exactly the question, what might happen, because we had no idea how the Vatican wanted to respond to this 25th anniversary. We certainly presumed there would be something, because it's 25 years and it was a major event. But whether it was something as simple as an Angelus recognition of the event, or an audience recognition of the event, or some sort of official statement sent up for the day from the Pope or whatever. So we talked about many possibilities, and then we invited the Bishop of Assisi to write the Pope and invite him at least as a courtesy, and see how it went. And I think it was to everybody's surprise when on the 1st of January this year, he kind of, as an addenda to his Urbi et Orbi, said, oh, by the way, I'm going to Assisi on the 27th of October, which put the whole thing in a completely different level.
And I imagine has changed significantly your plans. How has that affected the organization?
Well, it's made the organization simpler because it's all in the hands of the Vatican now. But our work as Justice and Peace Coordinators continue, and it's still a very important piece. And I think the bishop felt it was a piece that convinced the Pope to come, is that our desire and our intention is to animate the recognition of that event throughout the whole world, because not everybody can come to Assisi on the 27th of October this year. But everybody can do something at home.
So you've sent a letter, haven't you, particularly through your old Franciscan family, to encouraging everybody to take part in this?
The major superiors of the family have sent a joint letter out to everyone, and the Justice and Peace Coordinators have gathered various languages together and provided a whole list of possible prayer services for groups of Franciscans, for ecumenical groups, for interfaith groups, for daily prayer, with background information of resources of what one might be able to use for these kinds of gatherings, and are asking all Franciscans in the world of every color, shape, size, and stent to do something in their local gatherings to celebrate and recognize this.
There's a lot of this material available online.
It's all online on the website. Well, there is a blog site, spiritodiocesi.wordpress.com. If that's too much to remember, there's a link on the official website of each part of the Franciscan family. It has a nice logo of Assisi there and a link to this website and to all this material. So it's readily available. And all the material is reproducible to use and shape in whatever way they wish.
If I'm not mistaken, a number of groups have had an annual event for the last 25 years, always inviting people together around the time of the anniversary to pray together, either in or to dialogue together in some kind of a format. So this is nothing new for the Franciscan family. The first year after the original event, the major superior sent a letter, and that's where we can find the first reference to the term the Spirit of Assisi, which is not, when we're using it here, it's not just, you know, what's the town there, it's the whole event that John Paul II invited everyone to come together, to pray together, to spend time in silence together, to fast together for peace. So for the last 24 years, people have been commemorating this event throughout the world. We're just trying to give it a little bit more of a push because it's a big anniversary.
My thanks there to Sister Nancy Chelaski, a general counsellor of the School Sisters of St. Francis, and Father Peter Damian Massengill, assistant to the Secretary General of the Conventual Franciscan Friars.
That's all for today from me, Susie Hodges, here at Vatican Radio's English programme. But we hope you have enjoyed listening to us. We'll be on the air again at the same time tomorrow. And don't forget, you can always find our programmes at the click of a mouse on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. Laudato Jesus Christus.